B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
.303 in the afternoon, hour two, Felger and Maz fully loaded show. As for the game, it leads to Maz's Rodenheiser take.
Yep. Hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Heating specials now available. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. I tried to warn you. I said, lay the points. The Dolphins blow. Boy, do they blow. Even their punter sucks. Like, the whole team sucks. They suck at everything. Oh, my gosh, they are so bad. And you know what maybe the most stunning part of that game yesterday was? The Patriots didn't have both tackles. They didn't have either tackle on the offensive line. They lost Isaiah Wynn. Marcus Cannon didn't play. They had two scrubs out there they've never heard of. They scored 43 points. The game should have been 60-0. It should have been 60-0. Offensively, I don't think the Patriots played all that well.
Yeah, I would agree.
They were all right.
Well, I mean, just do the math. 14 came on defense, right. So you're at 29 there offensively. You were at 7. It was 7-0 with like 6 minutes left in the second quarter, and you're facing a 3rd-and-17. And this leads to my first take. I thought the best receiver on the field for you was Philip Dorsett.
He's been their best receiver through the first two games.
If Manny Sanders is a poor man's Antonio Brown, then Philip Dorsett is a homeless man's Antonio Brown, right? He's not, he's a notch below Manny Sanders, never mind Antonio Brown, but it's roughly the same stuff. Feet, hands, get open, catch the ball, that's
Dorsett
all I need.
Catches everything.
It's all I need. It's all I ask. And it was really, we were looking at sort of a slog out kind of low scoring cover, Dolphins cover. When late in the second quarter, it's 3rd-and-17, great 18-yard route by Philip Dorsett. Great ball deep out by Brady that they pick up, and the next thing you know, Antonio Brown scores a touchdown a couple plays later. But that was really to make it 13-0, which we'll get to in a second. That really sort of set the stage for what was going on there. And then there was another one. The first play of the third quarter, Dorsett caught like a deep slant in the middle of three guys and ducked out of a big hit, like right in traffic. And I liked his game as much as anyone's.
I mean, again, what was Brady to him? Three for three yesterday?
Yes. And I think there was a fourth that was brought back on that offensive pass interference.
I mean, like, you go back and look at this guy's history. Every game, he's catching almost everything that's thrown on.
Okay. So anyway, Philip Dorsett was one of my lead takes. How badly the Dolphins suck was yours.
Oh, my God. They were horrendous, really. That might be one of the worst football teams I've ever seen.
And I know for me, shame, boo. How dare you have red flags coming out of a beating like this? But I'm concerned about the offensive line. Like, Cannon, okay, he did practice throughout the week. They tested him before the game, so it sounds like he'll be back, thankfully. But Wynn going down, thankfully it's not anything to do with the Achilles or whatever it was he dealt with last year, so it's a toe. But still, like, you're playing a shell game with these off-the-street bums, like you say, Maz. Like,
I didn't even realize that right tackle was on the team. I ignored it when they got him. Like, where'd he come from?
I hadn't heard of either one of them.
I think they picked him up just last week.
So I was like, where'd this guy come from?
Yeah. So that going forward, look, I mean, the offense looks so good and everyone else is so bad, you probably won't have to worry about it. But at some point, that does feel like something that could eventually catch up to them and trip them up.
I mean, it is potentially their Achilles heel.
Because Brady did take some hits yesterday against a terrible team.
Let me tell you someone else who has looked good all year is Rex Burkhead.
He has.
I think he's been your best running back. Like, he's making people miss, burst. Like, where'd this guy come from? So I think Burkhead, and Michelle got going a little bit yesterday, but I think Burkhead's been even better.
Yeah, Michelle fumbled too.
And he did, first career fumble, but garbage time. It's sort of hard to get on him. You want to get on him, Murray?
No, he's okay. He's good. That's about it.
How about the way the Patriots handled the end of the game? they're up 37-0 late in the fourth. 37-0 late in the fourth. Not only is Brady still on the field, they're in the shotgun.
Yeah, doing play actions.
First down, shotgun, 32 yards to Burkhead. Then next first down, deep down the middle to Edelman for 17. Then 3rd-and-10, red zone, shotgun. Touchdown pass to James White on a little screen. They also called a timeout on defense with 18 seconds left, up 43-0. I'm just sort of laughing at this. So they're calling timeouts. They're in the shotgun at 37-0 to make it 43-0. If there's one topic that bores me to freaking tears, and we're not going to do it, but we do have to bring it up. Your thoughts on how they handled the end of the game?
I didn't love it. Again, I just think it's a bad look. That's all. It's a bad look. And more importantly, you know, you're going to have Brady back there throwing when you're up 37-0 or whatever the hell it is and potentially risk him to something?
I don't want to talk about it until someone gets hurt, and then we'll hammer him. Then we'll, if Brady gets hurt in the shotgun throwing up 37-0, then we'll unload both barrels. Until that time, I don't care that they ran up the score. Like, I mean, there's a reason. They're trying to atone for last year when they didn't play 60 minutes, so this is Bill teaching the team a lesson.
That's what I thought it was.
Okay, he's pissed at someone on the Dolphins staff. You know, there's all these Patriots guys down there. They want to make him look bad. That's a possibility. I don't know. Whatever it is, we've been here before. I mean, they're scorched earth, taking no prisoners. It's the kind of year we're looking at. So I don't care unless someone gets hurt, and then we'll say, what the hell was he doing out there?
I just, you know, again, I just don't think it's all that smart. That's all. And for someone who's really smart, and Belichick is, boy, it feels really stupid. And again, how about just getting Stidham some snaps? Would that be such a horrible thing?
Like, that I agree with, too. Like,
or is that about getting Brady's incentives?
I mean, I'd feel better about Stidham in the shotgun throwing. You know, at least get him some action. People remember, they forget that Garoppolo got little smatterings of action there in his rookie year, the Kansas City Massacre. He came in through a touchdown pass. And so, like, I don't know. But either way, like I said, I can't stand that topic. Your thoughts on offensive pass interference and how it's being called and how it's being replayed, not just here but across the league. It feels like they've been eager on offensive pass interference. There was a play in the Vikings-Packers game where they took away a Vikings touchdown.
Yeah, it was on Dalvin Cook, I think.
On one that was, I guess, was OPI, but really, you know, doesn't rise to that level of clear and obvious and, you know, egregious, certainly. And, they may have missed one yesterday on the Antonio Brown touchdown, and I think that's why Flores called the touchdown. Remember, Flores called a timeout before the extra point.
He wanted to make sure it was reviewed.
And I think because it was inside of 2 minutes, it has to be a booth review. So I think Flores called it to give him a little extra time for the replay official to buzz New York and say, take a look at it. Flores did challenge the Gordon one, which I think was clear and obvious. They brought that back. But it feels like there's more OPI coming back on these reviews than defensive pass.
Definitely. And I think because the offensive ones are clear as day. The Gordon one, there was no gray area whatsoever. And who got the other one? Izzo? I looked it up this morning. There have been 17 offensive pass interference calls in the league so far. I tried to compare that to last year, and I couldn't find a total for last year through the first couple of weeks. The number feels high, but boy, talk about an unintended consequence of the rule for it to come up like it's come up. When they see it, they have to call it. And so the part of it that agitates me.
So this is what, I'm sorry to say I told you so, but I told you so.
Yes. And so, like, I look at that and say, my gosh, the Antonio Brown one should have been, that play was close, but the ball barely got through there.
Yeah, but I don't think that, you can't start reversing that. It was just a little hand play.
Okay, but if he doesn't push there, the pass doesn't get completed.
Are you sure?
Yes.
This is,
look at how close it was.
Who was he going against?
Look at how close it was.
They kept calling the guy a former Patriot. I never heard of him.
The defensive back almost got his hand on the ball.
The Wiz? What was that guy's name?
But regardless, I look at the Wizard? Whole thing. The one that got called back in the Minnesota game was a joke. I mean, that was just Cook running into a guy just beyond the line of scrimmage. But honestly, what agitates me the most, you're telling me Patriots players don't know the rule? Like, what's the deal?
What do you mean they don't know the word? Wilts.
4 yards off the line of scrimmage, they're throwing picks, and they're slamming into guys. They don't think they're going to get called on it now?
They know the rule. They're just, you know, trying to do business as they think business is being done, but okay. It's not being done that way this year.
Well, so this is my point. Like, so what? Are they going to keep making this stupid mistake?
We're 2 weeks in, and we're seeing this, so I'm sure that they'll adjust. But, yeah, it does look like the refs have their eyes out for the pick plays, and even if you make any kind of extension of the arms, because there's been a few bad ones. There was one in that first game, the Packers and the Bears, I remember. There was the deep pass down to the Bears wide receivers, and he pushed, you know, the arms extended a little bit. Didn't even look like much of a push-off. They brought that one back, and there was a brutal one yesterday in the Raiders and Chiefs game. Against the Raiders. Like, you extend just a little bit, they're calling OPI.
Okay, finally, field goal kicker. Discuss.
Go ahead, Murray, you go first.
He's either a complete mental case right now or he's hurt. But he feels like a liability. Oh, boy. I mean, yesterday, fine. All right, you miss a 48-yarder. At this point, I've learned to accept it because he's hit more big kicks than not, I guess. But two extra points. That's inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable.
One way or another, he's hurt. It's either physical or mental, but he's got a problem.
So Fouts mentioned these numbers during the broadcast. He's 19 of 26 career in Miami. I think that's his worst stadium, or among his worst stadiums. It's also like 15 percentage points lower than his career average anywhere else. So he has problems kicking in Miami in general. Where's the Super Bowl this year,
Murray? Yeah, it's in Miami. Yeah, this was the one I loved hearing, getting chirped on when I brought, you know, I'm making my commentary about Stephen Gostkowski on Twitter yesterday, as I want to do. Oh, no, he's just bad in that stadium. Where's the Super Bowl being played? Where's the Super Bowl being played? What does he typically do in a Super Bowl? Oh, he's good for a missed kick or three, two. And they're playing this thing in Miami. I think we all expect they're going to be there. He's a liability. And I don't expect him to get cut. I don't want him to get cut. Just bring someone else in. Could you have brought someone else in at some point to just challenge him, make him think a little bit? Something, just something, just something. Everyone else gets competition on this team over the last 20 years, except one guy, Stephen Gostkowski. I'll never understand it. Jimmy, do you have a reason why?
Page 34 of the Wells Report.
I thought it was 37.
Either way.
I thought it was 31.
Either way.
I think it's 34.
It boils down to?
Jimmy. Hush money.
Thank you.
Dramatic pause. Sorry.
I'm done asking for competition. Like, it's just, I find it fascinating that this is the one highly paid veteran who's on the back nine who doesn't get competition. But he's the guy. He's the one guy that doesn't. Bill does it on purpose, and I find it just a fascinating case study in how he's, you know, deciding to handle this particular player.
But if he's hurt, don't you have to have some sort of a backup plan?
Did someone mention something to me about a hip?
Yeah, I put that in the email exchange. I heard from someone
that was you.
Yeah, never steered me wrong ever, and said
sources in the underworld.
Yeah, that there's a hip issue there, and he probably wished he already had surgery on it, and he's going to wait until after the season.
Is it got a bad hip?
Mm.
Look, all I'm telling you is he looks like a guy on the driving range right now. It's got a lot going through his ears because he's missing left, he's missing right, he's got the shanks like you read about. Wow, is he all over the place? I actually felt for him yesterday. Wow, this is bad.
We'll play the sound coming up. Bill, when asked about yesterday, mentioned something about the operation. So,
So what? They're going to put it on the new kid, the holder.
I don't know.
Jake Bailey's issue.
I'm just telling you. Hear the sound coming up. All right, those are our game thoughts. Back to your phones on everything right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Now Fitzpatrick on third and two, rolling right, and he throws in traffic, intercepted, picked off by Gilmore, who is gone. Right down the middle, 25-20, goodbye, to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
You could credit Kyle Van Noy for getting this going. He absolutely blows up the chip man on the end that Fitzpatrick tries to get the ball back inside to. Gilly Lock reads it. It's a fake jet sweep, destroyed the inside receiver, did Kyle Van Noy, which allowed Stephon Gilmore to undercut it, read it the whole way. Amazing play by Gilmore.
Shotgun snap to Fitzpatrick, dropping back at first and 10. Throws across the middle, catch by Balazs. No, he followed it! The hands of Collins, who runs down the right sideline. One man to beat a lineman. He runs to the 10. He beats him to the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots.
What a play. What a heads-up play by Jamie Collins. I mean, Miami can't even function at this point. They can't catch the ball. They turn it over. They're sloppy. What an embarrassment. This team's going to be bad for a long time.
Well, that's true about Miami, but the Patriots defense, again, giving up 3 points on the year. Thought they'd get off to a good start. It's really next level. So,
76-3, is that what it is in the two games?
I think so, yeah.
76-3. At this rate, they'll win next week 53-3. It's a joke.
Three straight games without allowing a touchdown going back to the Super Bowl last
Correct.
Year. Unfortunately, the game before that, they allowed like five in the fourth quarter, but that's, we draw the line at the Super Bowl. that would be, you know, the KC thing is the aberration. No, their defense is legit, and we knew it would be legit, and so it is.
You just got a lot of players out there. I mean, again, at every spot, it's like they're all in the right place all the time. Really, that's what it has felt like in the two games. The Miami game, to me, you can't tell a ton about. The Dolphins are so effing bad. Even when guys were open, they dropped it. You had a running back on a screen pass duck underneath the ball and wanted nothing to do with it.
Don't want to get hit with that.
I mean, then there was that stat I saw this morning that I chuckled. Ryan Fitzpatrick was 3 for 3 for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns thrown to the Patriots yesterday. He had more yards thrown to the Patriots than he did thrown to his own guys. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Okay, back to your phones as promised. Pat's in Florida. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Two comments, please. I was at the game yesterday, and we were sitting in 117 row 6 right behind the Patriot bench. And there was a lot of tension, and Edelman kept coming over and yelling and screaming. We couldn't figure out what was going on, but he sat down, and he wasn't sitting next to Brady. Antonio was. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of friction with that down the road. I really do. And the second comment I got is, and I didn't see this on TV because my wife, taped it. But when I got home, Antonio, when he came back to the bench, he was jumping up and down and getting us guys, you know, getting the fans all wild up, you know, while the defense was on the field. And it just pissed me off to no end.
Okay, so,
doing that.
Yeah, Pat, I thought he was, you know, he's got a little sort of game mechanic things that he's got to catch up on with the Patriots. Helmet on, buttoned up, ready to go on and off the field with different personnel groups and packages. This isn't Pittsburgh where you're out there every time just running around. So, you know, pay attention, you know, grab ass with the crowd. You pay attention to what's going on the field. So all like that little stuff. And again, the pregame stuff was hysterical. He goes out shoeless on his own, grab asses with the crowd, giving stuff to the crowd. Apparently at one point he lined up with the defensive backs and started like warming up with the defensive backs. And Brady had to go over and grab him and say, no, you go with the receivers. And then he was out there too late. The rest of the team was back in the locker room and someone had to go run out, or Bears or like an assistant had to go run out and grab him and bring him into the locker room because he was late getting in there. Like all this sort of little harmless stuff. I mean, I think just little culture stuff that he's going to have to catch up on.
Oh, yeah, he'll never get that right, though. Okay. I mean, again, if you're talking about adhering to the culture, he's never going to get that fully right. It's going to be maybe enough. Did you notice it, too, yesterday after his first catch, he came back to the huddle and Brady held up the number one and then Brown went to the sideline? Like, he clearly lost track of something. Either he wasn't supposed to be on the field on first down or whatever it was, but Brady said something to him and then he ran off the field.
So I did not notice that. But there's all these little things that, you know, this commentary that he picked it right up in week one, I think, is just not accurate. I don't think he did. He picked up a little, but I think he's still way behind, in a lot of different regards. In terms of Edelman getting pissed that he's not getting targeted, I don't see that. I don't feel that. I don't think that's going to be... I don't think Antonio Brown is going to create any issues with the other receivers. I don't. I just don't think they have that kind of receiving group. Like what, Philip Dorsett all of a sudden is going to say, get me the damn ball? Or Josh Gordon? Josh Gordon's problems are not get me the damn ball. His problems are what he does after work. So I just don't buy that caller. I don't. I think there's a chance that if Brown starts freelancing and Brady stops going to him because of that, that Brown and Brady might have a thing. You know, people forget Brady and Moss had a thing. It developed. It took a while, but they did. Remember that whole story where Moss bitched him out at practice once, told him to get a haircut or something? Remember that whole story?
Oh, yeah, vaguely.
Like, then that was just sort of a goofy sort of sidebar thing, but it all sort of stemmed from Moss unhappy with his contract and his role, and it sort of seeped into the team, and it seeped into he and Brady, but it didn't affect the other receivers. It was really just between Tom and Moss. So that first thing, I don't think Edelman... He got his money again. He got a raise this year. Is he going to get upset if he's targeted less? I don't think so. Stephen Yarmouth. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, I don't want this guy anywhere near the Patriots, man. I didn't want them to sign him. I mean, he's nuttier than squirrel crap. And, you know, it's one of those things where if this guy trips them up down the stretch and they don't win the Super Bowl, they're on the level of the 2011 Red Sox or this year's Bruins team. Because there's only one guy in the league that can stop them from winning the Super Bowl, and it's him. And, I mean, the revisionist history on this guy is just pathetic from Patriots fans. I mean, if this guy was in Pittsburgh with all these allegations and stuff, we'd be calling for 8-game suspension or want his head. And it aggravates me to no end. Thanks.
Okay, that's a good call, Steve. It is true. Most fans felt the same way a couple weeks ago till he got here. And I do agree that he has more downside than upside on this team. More downside than up. You're already at the top of the mountain. So I just think there's more risk to him than reward. Nuttier than squirrel crap.
I like it.
You have to save that. Use
yeah,
that.
Me too.
Yep, that's a good one. Pat in West Roxbury. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how's it going? I agree with Jim Murray here. In my 30 years of being a Pats fan, I never remember being more conflicted about seeing the team do well and just like wanting nothing to do with cheering for them. I mean, I know we're supposed to be cheering for players here, not people, but like this guy is a maniac. He nearly, what, killed a toddler because he threw his furniture out the window. He was speeding down the highway. Like, we're not just bringing him here to Foxborough on Sundays. We're bringing him here to our community. And like, I know I might sound naive, like we're just cheering for people here and cheering for laundry, but like, have we learned nothing from Aaron Hernandez? Like, if this guy goes off and hurts somebody, what's Kraft going to say? He was duped? Like, we have all the evidence in the world that he's a bad dude. He doesn't belong in the league. And as a Pats fan, I think it's disgusting. I don't want to cheer for them if they feel like, well, win at any cost, regardless of what this guy does in the community.
Okay, Pat, you know, he is a time bomb. And we'll read you details from the Sports Illustrated story. Not one incident in there rises to the level of suspend him, release him, cut him, arrest him. But it's like,
he's not right.
It feels like, you know, it also is the story that says when he does really cross the line and really get, you know, caught up in criminality, you'll be able to say all the signs were there.
I mean, of course.
When you're called to your house three nights in a row on domestic calls and the fourth, there's actual domestic assault. Are you surprised at the fourth?
No.
Or is there a pattern there? And so what I think what we're seeing with Antonio Brown is like that pattern that leads up to something really bad.
Yeah, the guy, I don't know whether it's he feels slighted by people or he can't cope or what. He's not right. He's not right. When you read this story, the way he reacts to stuff, he's just, I mean, I'm chuckling because some of it's funny.
We'll give you the details coming up here.
He's not right.
We've got Scott in the car. He joins us next here on Felger and Mass. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. Felger, we all know you hate the Patriots, but at least do some research. I mean, you mentioned Antonio Brown was only targeted 30% of the time, and you compared him to Randy Moss, and you said, did Randy Moss get targeted 30%? Randy Moss signed in the offseason. So at least do some research on that.
Do you think I didn't know that, Scott?
But you said, was he targeted 30% of the
time? I just asked. I didn't know what he was targeted in game one against the Jets. It wasn't targets. It was snaps. How many snaps did he play?
Right, but he signed in April. So he had 5-6 months.
Yes, Scott. Scott. Just talk to me. Do you remember how much work Randy Moss got in training camp?
I don't.
Oh, why don't you do some research? Okay, and then grab your pacifier and go back to the kids' table. Do some research and tell me how much Randy Moss played in the preseason. Let's grab Bob in Malden. Go ahead, Bob. Bobby.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
What do you got?
All right, I got, first of all, Robert Kraft, I agree with Matt. He knows now what the guy's like, so why doesn't he cut him? And the other thing is, Pats ain't going 0-19-0. Quarterbacks are going down like nothing. Brady's one hit away for end of the season, and believe me, he's probably
going to
get hurt. That's my own.
Okay, Bob. This is an era where Brady never gets hurt and everyone else does. Don't you understand? You're still on this run. This is still where we are, where everyone else gets hurt and falls apart, and you're left standing.
I mean, again, like two old guys got knocked down yesterday, right? Well, Roethlisberger's done for the year and Breeze is out for 6 weeks.
I mean, it's absurd. And not that all these guys are created equal, but Andrew Luck, Nick Foles, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Breeze. Who am I missing?
Almost Wentz.
But not.
It feels like all a matter of time for him.
Also, I mean, there's four guys, three Pro Bowlers.
Right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate. Right out of the old chute. Okay? So that was before week one was over.
Right.
I mean, before week two was over.
Two of them on potentially contenders. I mean, I think New Orleans, we can safely say, was a Super Bowl threat. The Steelers, maybe yes, maybe no, but a lot of people still picked them to win the division. I mean, you're talking two of the best teams in the league, or better teams in the league at the very least.
And I'm not buying the 6 weeks on Breeze. The guy couldn't even grip a football yesterday.
I'm with Murray. I think that's going to take longer.
Broke a thumb. Was it a break or ligaments?
Torn ligaments.
In his throwing thumb.
He's going to have surgery.
What's it going to feel like even when it's not? So, I mean, like, I just think this is coming. Watch out. If I'm Pat Mahomes, I'm like a bubble wrap. If I'm Andy Reid, because that one's coming. That's the next one. Just wait. We continue with your thoughts. Bill's reaction to the Antonio Brown stuff today from the leak. We'll give you that next after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Phil, the NFL did confirm it's going to meet with the woman involved in the civil suit with Antonio Brown today. Do you anticipate hearing anything from the league as far as Brown's ongoing availability to play?
Yeah, I don't really know anything about that. But I'll just answer any questions about the game and, you know, leave. Not getting into anything else outside of that right now.
I don't really know anything about that. How does he get away with that?
You mean a lie? Like,
but why does he even go there? Like, what?
I mean, what? Yeah, again, the easy thing is it's a league matter. You know, we'll wait and see how it plays out.
But I don't know anything about it. It's like saying I didn't know anything about the Colts charging us with deflating balls until the next morning, even though they delayed the game in the third quarter to get the right ball on the field. And Bill was standing there looking right at it.
They didn't know anything about this guy, don't you know that?
Even though Mike Kensel from the league, who Bill knows from his days with the Jets, was storming up and down the sideline, tried to storm into the Patriots locker room at half, the point where Bears had to come out and keep him out of the locker room during that Colts game. And Bill still says, I didn't know of anything until the next morning. So, like, when it's such a whopper of a lie, that almost gets your antenna up. Like, but, I mean, this one's harmless. Like, what? Yeah, I mean, you could just say what do you mean you don't know anything about that? Wouldn't he want to know something about that?
Sure.
That his player could ultimately go on the exempt list or not be available to him?
I think it's his way of saying, you know, whatever he has going on in his personal life off the field doesn't involve me. Except that in this case, it does. Because it could affect the player's availability. To me, I don't love the way the whole thing has gone down from the very beginning. Once the whole thing went down with the Raiders, I didn't want him here. They brought him in anyway. Then we have to ask the question of, you know, did they know or didn't they know? They say they don't. The report came out over the weekend that had Kraft known. He wouldn't have allowed the guy here in the first place.
One's embarrassing.
Oh, my gosh. What a whopper that is.
Like this PR, just own it.
As if somehow they no longer have the power to get rid of him.
Oh, my God.
That once they brought him in, they're obligated to keep him.
Either own it, stand by the player either with your actions or it doesn't have to be your words, but just own it or release him and get on your high horse.
I'm even okay with just don't say anything.
But right, fine. Just continue to play him just do your thing by not saying anything. But to leak out that, well, I wouldn't have said yes if I had known, trying to get, again, wanting it both ways is just so them, shameless, so full of crap. Just own it. You sign one of the worst guys in the league, someone who's toxic. Own it. Don't try and have it both ways, like you're above it in some way. If you were above it, you could have got rid of him the second the lawsuit dropped. And now, like, I don't know anything about it. Like, we didn't know. Like, what? Good God. Just own it. Stand by it. How about the reporting that they being Brown's camp and the accuser's camp, had been negotiating since April, had even had mediation sessions, presumably with a mediator, to try and reach a settlement. And that at the end, it was a $2 million, the settlement was $2 million or else she was going to go public and he wouldn't sign it. I go back and forth, you know, it could be either or. Either the lawsuit's so frivolous and he's so confident that he's going to be exonerated that I'm not giving you a dime.
Correct.
Okay, that's one way to read it, right? That would be the positive way to read it. The negative way to read it is, well, wait a minute, I thought you were being extorted. So if you're being extorted, why are you talking about any monetary? I mean, why would you enter into mediation or negotiations? And just turn around and counter-sue her for extortion or call the cops and charge her with extortion?
Yeah, again, similarly, I felt the same way. Like, on the one hand, you look at it and say, well, wait a minute. If he wasn't willing to sign, he's willing to let the thing become public. And he called her bluff. Then he's clearly not worried about what's coming out. On the other hand, what are you negotiating a settlement for?
You just want it to go away. You want her to go away. You know, that's... Something happened here.
So look, now again, I'm still not sure what happened. I don't have a clear opinion on that one because I think that this one could go either way. And so I don't know. You know, allegedly she asked him for $1.6 million to, you know, help and she owed $30,000 in taxes, and so Brown wanted nothing to do with it because he didn't want to invest in her company, her gym. I guess that's what it was. So I don't know. That's sort of a familiar number, right? She asked for $1.6 million. He says no. Now he's getting sued for two.
Well,
convenient.
He wasn't being sued for two. That was
that was the offered settlement.
That was the final
offer. Correct. So, you know, I mean, but again, that's pretty close, right? Pretty close. So I don't know. I don't know which way it's going. All I know is this. The guy's trouble. The guy's trouble.
Bad news on wheels, man.
I mean, so which is how I felt from the very beginning. Whatever it is, I can't tell you that he did or he didn't do it. All I know is that there's a lot of smoke and fire around this guy. And, you know, he's trouble. And if you bring in a person with trouble, you're going to get trouble. That's just the way it goes. So to me, I have a, you know, I don't blame anybody but the Patriots for this one because they knew what they were getting into.
And so I think the suit could go either way. I think it's entirely possible that she made it all up and he's being unfairly accused. And maybe that refusal to sign is a sign of that, is an indication that I did nothing wrong. You have no proof on me because there's no proof to have because I did nothing wrong and I'm not giving you a dime. It's also possible that he did do something and that's why he entered into mediation and he entered into negotiations and would have paid her off. But there's this other thing that we learned today, but we'll give you details on in a second. This guy's an epic, epic deadbeat who stiffs people left and right. If you read this SI story, he has got a trail of former assistants and managers and people in all sorts of phases of the service industry who he's done work for, never mind charities, that he has stiffed and owes money to. And this civil suit for rape is hardly the only civil suit he's got out against him. He's got a couple other civil suits for money that he owes for services rendered. So could it be that he did it? That's why he was negotiating. They're trying to find the number. And he's not going to pay the number because he doesn't pay anyone because he's a deadbeat. He doesn't pay people. That's the other possibility. And either could be on the table with this guy. Back to your thoughts, and we'll get to the SI story at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. But your calls next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gostkowski will be on for the 48-yard field goal try with Cardona to snap to Bailey. Swing of the right leg. The kick lifted to the upright. The kick from Gostkowski is no good. He missed 2 tries last year. One of them a BAT, and this one pushes to the right. In South Florida, Cardona snapped to Bailey. The kick by Gostkowski angled to the left upright, and it's no good.
What are we doing?
A repeat of a year ago. Missed field goal try, followed by a failed PAT.
We missed another PAT.
Steven Gostkowski with the point after try. No good. It's a second missed PAT to go along with an errant field goal attempt. And the Patriots with a 43-0 lead. Certainly on a day full of a lot of highlights on offense and defense, but some lowlights too from that other phase.
As our Steven Gostkowski's day, no word yet on them bringing anyone in just to take a practice squad spot or anything like that.
Goose them a little bit. Nope, nothing.
Nope. They haven't done to this point. I don't see them doing it now. We've been talking about this for years and years and years, and it's just a fascinating case study in how Bill handles this particular player. I think Gostkowski's either the second or third highest paid kicker in the game. He was the first for many years. He's 30-something. He's declining, I think. And if this were any other player in any other position, Bill would do something.
Can you imagine if for the second time the kicker takes him down from 19-0? Oh my God.
Well, you can't blame him for the Giants loss.
Well, I'm just saying it was a part of it.
So it's just he's handled this player differently than any other. He's tried to replace Brady more often than he's tried to replace Steven Gostkowski. It was Matt McCarthy's line, and it's accurate. So it's just fascinating to see how this goes. So Bill was asked about Gostkowski's struggles today on his conference call. Here's how that went.
Steven Gostkowski was pretty hard on himself after the game, saying he stunk after missing the two PATs and the 48-yarder field goal. What did you see that contributed to him missing those kicks?
Yeah, well, as we know, the field goal operation is really a full team play. It's not just one guy. You know, the most important player is the kicker in that particular play. We just got to do a good job all the way around of coaching and timing and execution by the specialists and protection by the other eight players. You know, and just work at it. Steve's a good kicker. He's made a lot of big kicks for us, certainly kicked well last week against Pittsburgh. And I have confidence in, you know, all the people that are involved here. Coaches, the players, the specialists, so forth. So we'll just have to work harder at it and expect better results.
You know, even there, he's giving him an out by he goes right to the operation and the eight other guys. Did anyone else do anything wrong on those kicks?
No.
The snaps seemed fine, didn't they?
Everything looked fine.
Were the laces out?
Yep.
I didn't notice the laces in on any of them.
No, this is about the kicker. This is about the kicker.
But Bill's giving him some covering. You know?
Yeah, he does. It's exactly what he's doing. He's covering for him. And so, I don't know, maybe Bill sort of looks at it and says, I'm not going to bring anybody that's better than this guy, so I'm sort of stuck with him at this stage, so I might as well make it as comfortable for him as possible. That'd be my guess. But, look, three kicks.
It's a crock. He missed one with Ryan Allen holding during the preseason. It's on him, the kicker. You got one job. Do it right.
And it is a Miami problem. It's, you know, he's got a bad track record in Miami. Missed a couple of kicks last year that sort of set up that loss to the Dolphins. And you'd brush that off and say, okay, they don't play in Miami again this year. Except the Super Bowl's at that stadium.
Yeah.
So we'll see again in February. We'll revisit it then. All right, back to your phones. As promised, here's OB in Chelmsford on Antonio Brown. Would you help me out, Jimmy? I froze up. Line four, OB in Chelmsford. Go ahead, OB.
What's up, boys?
How you doing?
Congrats on hitting the Sports Talk Radio lottery with the JV trade.
It's true.
So everybody's talking about like the loss and everything. Nobody wants to talk about like why they actually made the signing. And I wonder if in the back of Bill's mind he's thinking, you know, with all the you know, the injuries that have come up on quarterbacks, why like is it possible that he was thinking in the back of his mind, like if Brady goes down, this will help Stidham. And secondly, is a good sports dot radio topic here. Could they win with Stidham with this defense?
Yes. Thank you, Jimmy. You could drop him. They'd be 8-0, 9-0 without Stidham. I don't know about 19-0. You know, no. I mean, obviously, but they would have won these first two games. I mean, your defense has given up 3 points this year. You could win with Maz at quarterback. All you would have to do is get to six. Okay, so we could just hand off.
I'd protect the ball.
To Burkhead, and you'd have won both these games. So, like, it's not an outrageous thing to say you'd be 2-0 with Stidham. Of course you would. Your defense hasn't given up any points. On Brown, what was his exact take? Oh, why'd they do it? I think why they did it is twofold. One is, he's an insane talent, which we just saw in a little snippet yesterday. And again, that combination of footwork and hands and body control is just nasty. He's amazing. And he came at a reduced price, i.e. you didn't have to give up a damn thing. And the money to me is real money, but ordinarily, if he wasn't such an asshat, he'd be a $20 million a year player, and they got him for 15. So I think the Patriots, add it all up, the Patriots consider it a deal, and Brady really wants the guy. So Brady and Belichick's interest in this one align because he's a great football player at a good cost, and the quarterback really wants him, and so that's why he's here.
Yeah, the big thing is the deal. The opportunity, because typically to get this kind of player, you got to extend for multi-years and tens of millions. They didn't have to do that, so Bill brought him in. Plain and simple. Keith, to me, that's what it is.
Keith and the whole operation's frozen?
Hey, we can try this guy.
Okay, who's this guy?
Keith in New Hampshire, Keith I think is who you're going to.
Keith in New Hampshire, line six. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Keith. Are you on the air?
Yeah. You guys hear me?
Yes. Thank you. Go ahead.
So my biggest issue with Antonio Brown being on the field for a meaningless September game is, let's go back 2 years and Malcolm Butler was not on the field for a Super Bowl game.
It's a good one.
I'm not over it still.
Okay, Keith, thanks for the call. It's interesting. I mean, no other way to say it other than interesting. I mean, whatever Malcolm Butler did in Bill's mind must have been worse than what Antonio Brown has done.
It's a good way to look at it.
I mean, I don't know how else you look at it.
I was going to say, it comes down to money. What Malcolm Brown was asking for was too much, and what Antonio Brown was asking for was a good deal for the Patriots, and they did it. Like, to me, that, you know, again, that sort of, I think that that is the driving force behind it. Because everything else that you said, those elements have existed at other times. They've had needs for wide receivers. Brady has wanted guys, and they don't always go out and get them. But when the price is right, they will.
I have no problem with him playing Antonio Brown yesterday, by the way. In fact, I think he should have played, as I outlined. I think you just can't, you can't exempt someone or take someone off the field because of a civil claim. You just, that's a bad precedent, and I don't think they should have said it. And so I don't think he should have been suspended. I don't think he should have been exempted. I don't think the team should have kept him off the field for that. I don't. Because, again, then anyone slaps any civil claim on any player and then suddenly you take him off the field, that's just, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. I don't think you should be on the team. And it's not because of the civil suit. The civil suit is just an indication of why he shouldn't be on the team. The stink that follows this guy, the trouble that follows this guy, eventually is going to catch up to him with something bad. And you'd hate for it to be on your watch. Tom and Everett, he's up next on the Patriots schedule, line five, Jimmy. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What do you got?
He's like crime. He don't pay, Antonio Brown. That's, and I think we should be talking about the linemen that are hurt. And our schedule is so weak. Do you think when we do play a better opponent, are we going to be ready for it?
So I think that, thank you for the call, Tom. I think that second thing is fair. I mean, so that's Bill's job, and that's what the team has to guard against, is you just get, you play so many soft teams that you get soft, and I sort of believe in that battle-hardened thing.
Yeah, I worry about it.
If anyone's going to figure it out, it's he along with Dante Scarnecchia. I'll tell you right now. They're
So that's the offensive line. The lack of competition is another thing, but the offensive line's your issue.
Well, and the line, I think they're actually going to get a test in a couple of weeks in Buffalo. Now, their offense is inept, and that quarterback's terrible. But that, to me, I think is probably going to be a lower scoring game than people might expect.
Oh, you mean they'll only win by 20?
But still, that Buffalo defense is legit, and Brady's going to face some real pressure if that offensive line still is banged up as it was yesterday.
No way. No way.
You and me are going to have to make a wager then.
Well, the Bills.
What's Brady's record in Buffalo?
They've beaten the Jets and the Giants.
You're taking this as me saying the Patriots are going to lose. They're not going to. But they're,
My issue is not with you. In all honesty, no. I was, you know, watching this morning. Are the Bills the best team in New York? The Bills are 2-0. Are the Bills legit?
Our defense looks legit.
Against who? Against the Jets and the Giants. Blah! Those teams suck.
They were good last year.
The Giants are worse than I thought. Their defense blows. Boy, does the Giants' defense suck. Like, the Bills aren't good. I'm not taking the cheese on the effing Bills.
In the NFL, they may constitute as good in this NFL.
Which is pathetic.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a bigger issue.
Brady's got more wins in Buffalo than Marv Levy, for crying out loud.
Okay, let's get to the Antonio Brown Sports Illustrated story. Three just jumping off points, I would say, again, to Alex Guerrero or any service industry individual who Antonio Brown has employed to
render services. To do anything.
Advance. Get the money up front. I would not bill him and expect payment later. So
75% deposit.
Alex or anybody else, exactly. Advances or money up front. Have them pay on the first of the month, not in arrears. Safety tip. Also, if you're a female artist going to his house to paint something, do not turn your back to him because you don't know what's going to be waiting for you when you turn back around. I'll tell you what was waiting for this gal when she turned back around last year. And what was my third thing? There was one other little piece of safety advice.
The doctor.
Oh! Yeah! Don't get too close to Antonio Brown during examinations because you may be whiffing a certain something. That's the third thing if you're a doctor. Beware with Antonio in the room. All these details right after the update. 90 seconds, no commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.